Percy had been described in the shop somewhat vaguely as a terrier, and Mr. Partridge had flirted fearfully with the idea of having his tail docked. But such was his infatuation that he couldn't bring himself to cause such a mutilation, and the tail had grown in a great fringed curve, almost full circle over the back. To me, the tail nicely balanced the head, which was undoubtedly a little too big for the body, but Mr. Partridge had been made to suffer for it. His old friends in Derby, who, like all country folk, consider themselves experts with animals, were free with their comments. I had heard them at it. When Percy was young, it was, "Time you had that tail off, Rolly. I'll bite it off for you if you like." And later, again and again, "Hey, Rolly, you should have had that dog's tail off when he was a pup. He looks bloody daft like that." When asked Percy's breed, Mr. Partridge always replied haughtily, "Sealyham Cross." But it wasn't as simple as that. The tiny body with his luxuriant, bristling coat, the large, rather noble head with high pricked ears, the short, knock-kneed legs, and that tail made him a baffling mixture. Mr. Partridge's friends, again, were merciless, referring to Percy as "tripound" or "mousehound." And though the little artist received these railleries with a thin smile, I knew they bit deep. He had a high regard for me, based simply on the fact that the first time I saw Percy, I exclaimed quite spontaneously, "What a beautiful little dog!" And since I've never had much time for the points and fads of dog breeding, I really meant it. "Just what is wrong, Mr. Partridge?" I asked. "I can't see anything unusual." Again, the little man appeared to be uneasy. "Well, now, watch as he walks across the floor. Come, Percy, my dear." He moved away from me, and the dog followed him. "No, no, I don't quite understand what you mean." "Watch again." He set off once more. "It's at his arm, back end." I crouched down. "Ah, now, yeah, wait a minute. Look, just hold him there, will you?" I went over and had a close look. "Oh, I see it now. One of his testicles is slightly enlarged." "Yes. yes, quite." Mr. Partridge's face turned a shade pinker. "That is, that's what I thought." "Hang on to him for a second while I examine it." I lifted the scrotum and palpated gently. "There. The left one is definitely bigger, and it's harder, too. Is it, anything serious?" I paused. "No, I shouldn't think so. Tumours of the testicles are not uncommon in dogs, and fortunately they aren't inclined to metastasize, spread through the body very readily, so I shouldn't worry too much." I added the last bit hastily because at the mention of the word tumour the colour had drained from his face, alarming me. "That's a growth, isn't it?" he stammered. "Oh, yes, but there are all kinds, and a lot of them are not malignant. So don't worry, but please keep an eye on him. It may not grow much, but if it does, you must let me know immediately."
"I see. And if it does grow?"
"Well, the only thing would be to remove the testicle."
"An operation?"
The little man stared at me, and for a moment I thought he would faint.
"Yes, but not a serious one.
Quite straightforward, really." I bent down and felt the enlargement again. It was very slight. From the front end, Percy kept up a continuous, musical growling. I grinned. He always did that. When I took his temperature, cut his nails, anything. A non-stop grumble, and it didn't mean a thing. I knew him well enough to realize there was no viciousness in him. He was merely asserting his virility, reminding me what a tough fellow he was. And it was not idle boasting, because for all his lack of size, he was a proud, mettlesome little dog, absolutely crammed with character. After I'd left the house, I looked back and saw Mr. Partridge standing there watching me. He was clasping and unclasping his hands. And even when I was back in the surgery, half of me was still in that odd little studio. I had to admire Mr. Partridge for doing exactly what he wanted to do, because in Derby he would never get any credit for it. A good horseman or cricketer would be revered in the town, but an artist, never. Not even if he became famous, and Mr. Partridge would never be famous.
A few people bought his paintings, but he could not have lived on the proceeds. I had one of them hanging in our bedsitter, and to my mind he had a definite gift. In fact, I would have tried to afford more of them, but for the fact that he obviously shrank from that aspect of the Yorkshire Dales that I love most. If I had been able to paint, I would have wanted to show how the walls climbed everywhere over the stark fell sides. I would have tried to capture the magic of the endless empty moors with the reeds trembling over the black bog pools. But Mr. Partridge went only for the cosy things. Willows hanging by a rustic bridge, village churches, rose-covered cottages. Since Percy was a near neighbour, I saw him nearly every day, either from our bedsitter at the top of the house or from the surgery below. His master exercised him with great zeal and regularity, and it was a common sight to see the artist passing on the other side of the road with a little animal trotting proudly beside him. But from that distance it was impossible to see if the tumour was progressing, and since I heard nothing from Mr. Partridge, I assumed that all was well. Maybe that thing had grown no more. Sometimes it happened that way. Keeping a close watch on the little dog reminded me of other incidents connected with him, particularly the number of times he was involved in a fight. Not that Percy ever started a brawl. At 10 inches high, he wasn't stupid enough for that. But somehow, big dogs, when they saw that dainty white figure prancing along, were inclined to go for him on sight. I witnessed some of these attacks from our windows, and the same thing happened every time. A quick flurry of limbs, a snarling and yelping, and then the big dog retreated, bleeding. Percy never had a mark on him. That tremendous thick coat gave him complete protection, but he always got a nip in from underneath. I had stitched up several of the local street fighters after Percy had finished with them.